Hello, my little detectives, and welcome back to another episode of the True Crime and Coffee podcast, where I, your host, Simone North, talk all things true crime while we drink our coffees to stay calm. So, you guys notice anything different? Anything of higher quality sounding to your ears? Well, if you haven't guessed in that 2 seconds I gave you, I got myself a microphone, so my podcasts will no longer be recorded on my cell phone. It was a struggle, but we made it here. I have a mic, I have the setup, but bear with me, please, because I don't have a soundproof studio or anything. I just record in my bedroom, so if you hear my AC or my cats, I'm sorry, I'm not that experienced with editing yet, so bear with me. Anyways, today I am accompanied by a delicious cup of whipped coffee. Obviously, I mean, you know me by now. Whipped coffee, my middle name, you know. Anyways, how are you guys? I feel like it's been so long since I've done a podcast. I mean, it's been like 2 weeks, but I've been working a lot, so it feels like I haven't gotten to work on anything else lately. So thank you guys for hanging in there and holding up while I figure things out. Turns out I missed you guys so much that I forgot to say that I would love to know your favorite coffee drink, your favorite comfort drink. If you want to let me know, you can tag me on Instagram or Twitter at True Crime Coffee with a picture of you and your drink while you listen to my podcast and tell me what it is. You can also just literally tweet me what it is. It doesn't matter. Whatever you want to do. But yeah, if you want to let me know, please let me know. Now, all rambles aside, and in all seriousness, today I wanted to talk about the case of Kanika Jenkins. And let me tell you, I remember when this case first came out, I remember exactly what I was doing because I was so shocked and disturbed by the details of this case. This is definitely something that seems as though something bigger may have happened. Maybe something's possibly being covered up, or maybe it was just a very bizarre string of circumstances, I guess. But really, I think there's something bigger going on here. And once you guys hear today's case, I think you may possibly think the same way too. So without further ado, let's dive straight into the case of Kanika Jenkins. So I wanted to say really quickly that there is not much information about this case. I searched and looked at a lot of sources, but they all kind of said the same information. There are not many case updates. This did happen in 2017, and as of 2020, right now, there have not been any updates in the case whatsoever as far as I could see. I did see something about her teeth. I believe some of her teeth being missing or something of that sort, but I couldn't find a ton of sources on that, so I chose not to put that in the case today, but I'm just letting you know now. So first, let's dive into what exactly happened. How did this happen? So, Kanika was celebrating with her friends at a party that took place at 11:30 p.m. on Friday, September 8th, 2017, in room 926 of the Crown Plaza Chicago O'Hare Hotel in Rosemont, a suburb of Chicago. Now, there were multiple reports of Kanika acting odd and out of character, with one acquaintance stating that Jenkins appeared to be swaying back and forth as she embraced him in a hug, and another reporting that Jenkins, quote, wasn't acting like her usual self, end quote, noting that she would dance a little, but later appeared to be sad and went to go sit down. Now, it is important to note that several witnesses reported seeing her drink cognac, but did not see her take part of any marijuana or other recreational drug use. So, Kanika would later be briefly seen with others walking down one of the halls in the hotel, and camera footage would later surface of Jenkins staggering near the front desk at 3:20 a.m. About 1 hour later, Jenkins' mother, Teresa Martin, was contacted by Kanika's friends and left for the hotel, arriving at around 5:30 a.m. to assist in the search. So, obviously, Teresa, as any panicked mother would, proceeded to knock on as many guest doors from the top floor to the bottom floor of the hotel as she could, asking if they knew the whereabouts of her daughter, if they'd seen her, anything, just obviously anything to find her daughter, until a hotel employee complained and called 911 to complain, which is very, I don't know, inconsiderate. I don't understand why you would call 911 on a panicked mother, but maybe they didn't think the situation was serious. I don't know their train of thought. I don't want to say they're a bad person, but I feel like calling 911 on a mother who's worried about her missing daughter is a little harsh. Hotel management then stated that until Jenkins was reported missing to the police, they could not provide access to video footage from the night before. Now, Kanika would later be officially reported as missing to hotel management at 1:15 p.m. on Saturday, with family members characterizing the initial police response as lacking in urgency, which, surprise, surprise, I feel like a lot of times with these cases, it's the police are always involved when it's a little too late or things get serious when it's too late. Sadly, you know, they think, oh, she's a teenager, you know, she probably ran off or she's probably with a boy. They don't take it seriously the day of, and that is the most important time to be looking for someone when they are missing, is within the first couple of hours that they go missing. So at first check of camera footage, it was focused on entrances and exits and would reveal nothing. But at 10 p.m., police would find footage of Jenkins stumbling through the hotel. Her whereabouts remained unknown until she was found in the hotel's freezer and pronounced dead at 12:48 a.m. on Sunday. Kanika Jenkins was found lying face down on her side with one shoe off. There was no sign of trauma found other than a small cut on her foot. The temperature inside the freezer was found to be 34 degrees Fahrenheit, approximately 2 hours after the doors had been left open. So the freezer, which was described as a walk-in freezer within a walk-in cooler, was a part of an unused kitchen and was on and working, and the lights were turned off in both chambers when she entered them. Now, people would question, why would the freezer be on if it was an unused kitchen, though the kitchen was reportedly being leased out to a restaurant using space in the hotel. Now, motion detecting security cameras would show Jenkins staggering while intoxicated through the hotel's hallways, eventually arriving at the kitchen where she rounded a corner towards the freezer, with the freezer door itself being out of the camera's sight, so you don't actually see her going into the freezer. You never see that happening. And you can look at this security camera footage on YouTube. All you really have to do is search her name and security camera footage, and you can see it for yourself. Kanika Jenkins' death would be ruled as an accident on October 6, 2017 by the Cook County Medical Examiner's Office. The autopsy report found no illegal drugs in her system, and her blood alcohol level was found to be 0.1112. Traces of topiramate, a drug used to treat epilepsy and migraine headaches, were found in her system, though she was never prescribed the medication. Now, topiramate taken with alcohol can enhance the effect of both, as well as hasten the onset of hypothermia, and the presence of which was confirmed by lesions found in Jenkins' stomach. The Rosemont Police Department issued a statement the same day stating that while no foul play was suspected, their investigation had not yet been completed. Now, Jenkins' friends' stories remained inconsistent as to exactly what happened after the party. After she went missing, one friend texted another about how Jenkins was drunk and missing. The reply came back as, "Find Kanika," and "I can't believe y'all lost her." They stated that Jenkins had gone downstairs with some people, but they left her alone to go and retrieve a cell phone from one of the hotel rooms. Now, Jeffrey Feiger, I hope I'm saying that right, I'm sorry if I'm not, the family's attorney, filed a $50 million lawsuit against the hotel and others. He displayed photos of a freezer door showing that it had a lock button from the outside, suggesting that someone may have locked it, although this was contradicted by the security camera, which recorded no other footage since August 30th, nor any after Jenkins' footage. The photo of the freezer seemed not to be of the actual freezer door, which latched shut but apparently had no lock. Now, a white circular handle on the inside, which would have enabled a person to exit on their own accord, appeared to be in good working order. Now, the attorney had stated that the hotel had the means to lock off the kitchen area as it had a pair of plywood doors with a padlock. All right, guys, so unfortunately, that is all of the information that I have about the murder case of Kanika Jenkins. I wish we knew more. I wish more was found out about this case, but sadly, that is not what is happening right now. I would highly recommend trying to spread awareness because this case was not looked into enough, and it should be reopened and re-looked into. If I missed anything, if you have any comments about this podcast, you can reach me at truecrimecoffee@gmail.com. You can also comment or send me messages on Instagram or Twitter at truecrimecoffee. I hope you guys enjoyed today's case. I hope that if you didn't know about this case, that you will try to raise awareness about it and just spread the word. But yeah, other than that, as always, stay safe.